And let me go ahead and preface this morning. I'm going to start, and you're really not going to know where I'm going. You're going to wonder what point I'm trying to make. And I pray to God that before I'm done that I make a point. The Lord has spoke clearly to me, but I also struggle with how to articulate what he has shared with me. But I do want to tell you that we're just going to dive into Scripture, and I'm not telling you the direction, but along the way you'll begin to see where we're going. Jacob, it could be a little bit like that time, and I have to say it every chance I get when I preach that series, Dave in a Cave, just because that's the greatest title I ever had to me, Dave in a Cave. When we walk through a text for weeks, we're going to be in Luke 2, 21 through 38. We may be only be here 2 weeks, but I could also see us being here 4 or 5 weeks in just these few verses. And so Luke chapter 2, verse 21 through 38. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you as we get started, I'm just going to do a lot of Jesus preaching, okay? Just a lot of Jesus preaching. Won't be a whole lot you ain't never heard. But I'm going to go ahead and say this, that as I preach Jesus, I can think of nothing better to preach on ever. On the first day of the year, or any day of the year for the rest of my life, I can think of nothing better. And as long as I'm here, and unless I'm in rebellion, that's what we're going to teach on, is a lot of Jesus. And if we don't like that, then I guess me and you one's got to go. But in a world that seems to be a famine of truth right now, that is taught from the Scriptures, and as if even people who operate under the banner of Christ have graduated to bigger and better things other than Christ, which is a false notion from hell. I say this all the time, for all of eternity, we will not exhaust Christ's glory. And so you wonder what you're going to be doing, like you're going to get bored. No, you won't. For all of eternity, you will never exhaust and find the ending to his glory. So we're going to preach Jesus this morning. I want to read you this passage of Scripture, and then I want to begin to walk through it and share with you just some things that the Lord showed. Again, you're not going to know where I'm going, so just listen. But as we come to an end, I think it'll come to a point, and we will hear from the Lord. And it'll be teachy at first, and then I think it ends with a prophetic unction. Then we're going to come together and pray, okay? Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 21. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Say it again. Which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And it came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer both night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, again, this is just an introduction today of some things I feel like the Lord is wanting to speak into us. And I find this text very fitting for where we are today. We just went through Christmas, and I assume that we celebrated who Jesus is in his arrival, the incarnation of God, God sending his son. Whether or not he was born on December 25th or not, that is what we celebrated, the event rather than the date, correct? And yet here we are a few days after that in reality as we enter into a new year. Somebody say new. New. In the text, I find that we are in the same place. Jesus has just been born. And we had wise men that celebrated him. We had shepherds that celebrated him. And Jesus has been born recently in the text. And now we are entering into something new that Jesus will live out, that he will reveal, a work that he will do. Are you with me? I think that's fitting for where we are. So the Lord, he just stopped me right here and began to speak some things into me in this time frame of celebrating the arrival of Jesus, following that into something new. And so from this text, God began to just sow some things into me to share with you and I over the course of the next few weeks that I think the Lord wants us to know about him and about what he wants to do in our lives. And I think it is wonderful, okay? So this is the introduction. Now I want to deal with the text because verse 21 through 24 really just makes way. It is the springboard in which we leap into what God is saying to us in verse 25 through 38. But there are some beautiful things in these three or four verses that I want us to see. So let's get into the text. When you read in verse 21, previous to that, we just got done in this text. We've seen the shepherds, and now we find that Jesus is born. And it mentions when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, what I want you to understand is there is three separate events right here in these few verses that is a custom for every Jew, okay? It is written out in the law of Moses, okay? So in verse 21, we find the circumcision, right? Following that, it refers to the purification according to the law. And then thirdly, we have the presentation of a Jewish male child. And if it had been a female. And these are three different events that is kind of put together here that will eventually cause Mary and Joseph to go to the temple in which God introduces us to something totally different. But I would be remiss to go over verse 21 through 24 and overlook these three events because there's something to be said in these three events, and I want us to see these. Number one, the circumcision. Let's just study together. The first part's going to be teaching heavy. We're just going to study, read scripture. Genesis 17. Let's look at this. Genesis 17. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Now, who's talking to who right here? I know you know this. God and Abraham, right? And he is establishing a covenant. Next verse, please. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. Okay, so we understand this. God made a covenant with Israel. It began with Abraham that every male child, when he's 8 days old, would be circumcised. Are y'all with me? So Jesus here, we find that Mary takes her son on the eighth day to have him circumcised according to the law. Leviticus 12:3. Let's just keep reading together for a little while. We're going somewhere in a little bit. And in the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. That is in the law. Let's look at the New Testament reference, Galatians 5:3. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Paul expounds on this, that if the man is not circumcised of the house of Israel, the male child, he is cut off from the covenant. And he is to be circumcised because it's a token between him and God of the covenant, that is an everlasting covenant with Israel. And then it says this, that when he is circumcised, he is a debtor to the entire law. That's interesting. So here is Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. According to the law, his mother takes him on the eighth day to be circumcised. And in this, he is entering into the covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as an everlasting covenant, which also would make Christ a debtor to the entire law. And then also we find that in this, you are to name your child. In the eighth day, you name the child. Luke 1:31, the angel comes and says, you name him Jesus. It says right here in this text, before Jesus was ever conceived, the angel said, you'll name him Jesus. And Mary goes and she names him Jesus, according to the word of the Lord and according to the law. Are y'all with me? This is important. I know you don't think it is right now. This is important. And then you see the second event. And when the days of her purification. Now the language here is a little tricky. So let's read this together. And the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished. When that was accomplished, then they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two pigeons. So let's go to Leviticus 12. So now what Mary is doing, if the boy was to be circumcised on the eighth day, the law says this, that when a woman has a child, a male child, that she is unclean for 40 days. And she has to go through a purification. This is in the law. Let's watch this. Leviticus 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking of the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. According to the days of separation for her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. And she shall then continue in blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. But if she bear a maid child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her separation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled, for a son and for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, a young pigeon, and a turtle dove for a sin offering, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that hath born a male or a female. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring 2 turtle doves and 2 pigeons. The one for the burnt offering, the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Okay, look at verse 24. And offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, two turtle doves and two young pigeons. Do you know what this means? It means that Mary and Joseph was poor. It means that the wise men has not come yet, just what we taught on the other day. Or if so, she would have had plenty of gold to purchase a lamb, but she did not. Jesus was born in poverty. He was born into poverty. And so Mary, according to the law, she is obedient to the law. She has him circumcised. She goes through the 40 days of purifying. She brings the atonement. And when that is accomplished, then she can present him to the Lord. Now, what does it mean, presenting him to the Lord? The third event mentioned in these verses, Exodus 13. And I'm teaching you something here. Hang with me. Exodus 13, 11 through 16. Now, you remember in Egypt when God set his people free, and we know the Passover, and we understand that Pharaoh was going to kill you know, as Pharaoh was God's counterattack to Pharaoh killing the children, and then we know the Passover, and so let's pick up right here. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. Now hang with me. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this, that thou shalt say unto him, by strength of the hand of the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of bondage. It came to pass when Pharaoh would hardly let us go that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for the frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. Now, what does this mean? This is what God said, that when you come out of Egypt, that from now on, when you have your firstborn child, your firstborn male, you would give back to God. Originally, the firstborn male coming out of that, they would have been dedicated, given to the Lord, to the services of God. Originally, they would have been the priesthood. Now, what happens in Exodus 32 is, if you remember, Moses comes off the mountain and everybody's worshiping an idol. And what happens is, the Levites, they honored the Lord in such a way, they were obedient in killing every idolater there. Remember, hundreds were killed by the Levites. If you want to study something, go look up the violent warrior-like mentality of the Levites going all the way back. There's something to be said there. The Levites, in honor of the name of the Lord, they slaughter idolaters. And for that, God blessed that tribe, the Levites, and they became the priesthood. Exodus 32. Numbers 18, 16. Now, this makes sense here. And those that are to be redeemed from a month old shalt thou redeem according to thy estimation for the money of 5 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. Give me the next verse, Leviticus 27:6. And if it be from a month old, even into 5 years, then thy estimation shall be of the male 5 shekels of silver, and for the female thy estimation shall be 3 shekels of silver. Do you remember when Peter says in his epistle that we were not redeemed with silver and gold? That's what he's referring to. Because originally, the firstborn was given to God after they came out of Egypt, until the Levites, in honor of the name of the Lord, slaughtered the idolaters, and they were blessed with the position of the priesthood. And from that point on, every firstborn male had to be redeemed at the time of presentation to the Lord. They were given to the Lord, and to be taken back, they paid the sum of 5 shekels of silver. Now, the text don't say that Mary paid the 5 shekels of silver, but we assume the way that she had honored and kept the law. So Jesus was given to God, and he had to be redeemed for 5 shekels of silver. And you can go study that. Just go, he was redeemed for 5 pieces, sold for 30. I digress, but just something to think about. Now, why is this important? Why are these few verses important? That she has him circumcised on the 8th day, and now he's a debtor to the law. That she is purified, that she was not pure because she gave birth to Christ. That made her not pure, and so she had to go through the purification, and she had to bring the turtle doves in the sacrifices. And that she presented, that she gave Christ to God, but had to pay for his redemption. What does that mean? Galatians 4:4-5. Listen to this. Galatians 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Jesus had to be born under the law because we are born under the law, and you and I cannot fulfill the law. We are not good enough to be the sons and daughters of God. That means redemption must take place. There's a price that has to be paid. Jesus was born under the law, and he would fulfill the law perfectly that he might be our redemption. Somebody say amen. Now that's why that is important. And if that don't do nothing for you, I don't know what to tell you. That is good. That is good. He was made like us throughout Scripture. It tells us in Hebrew, he was made like us. He was born in poverty. He was born under the law, just like you and I, because he had to become like the ones that he would save and redeem. There was no other way. He could not sit where he was and look over sin, or he would be unjust. He would compromise his own nature. There was only one way to set you and I free, to pardon our sins, to forgive us, to bring us into his family, and that is Jesus had to become like us. He had to be a man, and in that he had to be the greatest man that could live under the weight of the law and fulfill the law, just so at Calvary his death could purchase you. Thank God, absolutely. Now, and that really don't have a whole lot to do with where we're going. That's just some Jesus preaching. That's good. It's doctrine. You need to understand what that means. You ought to read that text and understand the significance that no redemption was for you had Jesus not been born under the law. Now, here is what I see in the text. Here's what I see. And you may want to argue at first, but don't, because you'll lose this one. Mary and Joseph didn't know what they had. They didn't know what they had. They did not know what they had when they carried the baby to be circumcised the 8th day, when they named him Jesus, after the purification, when they were bringing the sacrifices, because she was impure for having him, when she was presented, she did not know what she had. And I'm not being hard on her today. I promise you I'm not, because I don't think we know what we have. But she did not know what she had. Say, well, why? What makes you so sure? Well, Luke is very specific in chapter 2, verse 42, 12 years later. Let's read this together just so you will believe me. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, And they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I sought thee sorrowing. And Jesus says, how is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying that he spoke. That's all he said. Well, I'm here, and I'm teaching. I have doctors sitting at my feet, and I'm 12, and on their faces they are blown away. And all you can say is you troubled us because we lost you. And his response is, well, why did you have to look so hard for me? You should have known that I would be right here in my daddy's house doing what he would want me to do. And Mary and Joseph did not understand what he was talking about. They didn't know what they had. God is speaking something into me about being a people that has a very present Christ in our midst. God with us, Emmanuel, yet we do not know what we have. They knew it was great. They didn't know how great. Somebody say amen. They knew. They had to have known he was great because angels don't just come to you and tell you that this is God's son. You don't just be a virgin and conceive and angels come and not know something great is inside of you. But yet, she didn't have a clue how great. Say, how do you know? Well, Mac, this is what I'm thinking. Colossians 2:11. Now, and again, I'm not being hard on her because I'm no better than her. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands and putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. If she knew who he was, she would have thought in her mind, I don't got to take him on the eighth day to be circumcised because the circumcision, he is the reality. The one I'm bringing to circumcise, he's the one that would circumcise every man's heart forevermore. More. And why would the great spiritual circumciser need circumcision like a normal male? And in her purification, Miss Betty, it says this. You bring a lamb and you bring one turtle dove. I don't want you to miss this. Go back to Leviticus 12, please, Jared. Go to verse 6. In the days of her purifying are fulfilled, for a son, for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon and a turtle dove. One pigeon, one turtle dove, and one lamb. And if you ain't got a lamb, then bring two turtle doves and two pigeons. So Mary brought two turtle doves and two pigeons because she did not think she had a lamb. But what she did not know is she had a lamb. She had the lamb. She had the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. And she could have bebopped up in that temple and said, I don't need a turtle dove. I don't need a pigeon. I have the Lamb of God. And in her case, she did not need to know who he was because he had to be born under the law. But it is safe to say she had no idea how great he was. And if she knew exactly who he was, brother, then why did she feel like she had to give him to God and redeem him for 5 shekels of silver? If she knew who he was, then she would understand that she did not have to give him back to God, that God had given him to her, and she didn't have to redeem him because God sent him to redeem us. So she feels the need to pay the price to redeem Jesus and give him to the Father. But what she did not know in the incarnation, that he was there at that very hour, because the Father had him for all of eternity, but gave him to us. And he didn't need redeeming, because he is the Redeemer. She just didn't know how great he was. And I want us to remember that this is the trend in Jerusalem. And it is tragic and it is sad. But this is the reality in Jerusalem at the time. John 1. One of the most profoundly deep theological chapters in the Bible. John 1. I won't read the whole thing, but I'll read bits and pieces. John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things, somebody say all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Give me verse 14, brother. I'm sorry. No, go back to 5. You're right. I'm right. I'll give him a chance to go back to verse 5. I'm sorry. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So the God that was in the beginning, that made all things, that came to earth, He was life, and in being life, He was the light to all men, and this light shined in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. How did He come to do this? By being made flesh. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt, tabernacled, same word as tabernacle, and tabernacled among us. God tabernacled in flesh. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.